You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
You know, I want to minister something tonight that just been stirring in me this week. Here we are, it's New Year. First message of the New Year. And this is a time people make resolutions. You know, that can be good or that can be bad. There's nothing wrong with examining yourself and vowing to do better this year. And then realizing when it doesn't happen that you're human and you need a little work. Amen. But with the grace of God and with the help of God, we can do better and we can improve and we should. And the Bible says examine yourself whether you be in the faith or not. And you should look at your life, and if there's areas that you know are not right, you need to get them right. I mean, this is serious business. We want to please the Lord. We want to represent the Lord. We want the world to see Him in us. Hallelujah. And so that's, you know... There's lots of times I wonder how they see Him at all in me, and then there are times I do pretty good, and there's times I don't do good, and I need to work on those times that I don't. Amen? And I need to examine my life, because it's not just about me. It's more than me. There's a lot of other people out here that need to see Him in me and see Him in you. We're not trying to impress anybody, but we are trying to represent someone. Amen? And we got to stop making excuses. You know, if anything we can determine to do this year, we ought to quit playing the blame game. And start taking responsibility for our actions and for our future. Now I realize God's involved in that. You know, we're trusting God and we give Him the credit and the glory for any good thing. But we're working together with the Lord. The Bible says we're builders together with Him. So what we need to do is take responsibility for our actions and for our future and determine that we're going to improve on our actions, take the blame when we've sinned, and we're going to do better. In Jesus' name, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And quit blaming everybody else and everything else for not achieving success in our life as far as a Christian is concerned, not achieving Christ-likeness and not getting better and overcoming sins. It's not anybody else's fault. It's just ours. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Been blaming the devil all these years. You know, really, in a lot of cases we do. That's a good point, Kay. We often blame the devil sometimes. That's just our fault. Are you with me? Now, the devil is... bad. He is the tempter. He is putting those thoughts in our head. But you know, we're the one that listened, and we're the one that yielded. And contrary to what Flip Wilson used to say as a comedian years ago, I don't know who he is, but Motel told me about him. Flip Wilson used to say the devil made me do it. He had a whole, you know, comedy show built around that, but actually that's not the case. The devil tempted, but you gave in. Amen? And when you sin, it's your fault. Just take responsibility, repent, confess your sin, God forgives you. And go on. Amen? And let it go. And I think part of being mature is knowing what to remember and what to forget. You don't want to remember everything. You don't want to keep bringing up some things. Some things you need to let them go. The Bible says God forgets them. Well, you need to forget them too. Hallelujah. So taking responsibility for actions. I want to talk about that. Quit being a victim and start being a victor. Quit making excuses and going out there and start doing the will of God. Just do it. You know, there may be some things you can't do, but there's a lot more you can do than you can't do. And there may be some things you don't know, but there's a lot more you do know than you don't know. In this sense, I'm not concerned about what I don't know. I'm very much concerned about what I do know. The Bible, God holds me responsible for what I do know. If I just was faithful to do what I knew, I wouldn't have to worry about what I don't know. Because I think, really, we know enough to make it. We know enough to serve God. We just got to take those words that we heard and do them and be like that wise man that built his house on a rock. So when the storm comes and wind blows, it won't blow us over. Storms will come. But you can still be standing. And don't blame the storm. Hello. When things don't work out. Listen, you can survive the storm. You can survive the crisis. Don't blame a crisis in your life. Well, I'm this way because something happened to me 20 years ago. Well, come on. It was a bad deal. It hurt. But you know what? You can heal. And you can get over that. You can grow. Don't be held captive to an event in your life. Don't be held captive to a person in your life. Don't be held captive, to all these excuses that we make. We got to quit making excuses. Let's serve God and let's go on. Amen? I'll tell you, never achieve anything by making excuses. You achieve success in any area when you begin to set your face like a flint. When you're determined, you're going to make it. When you're determined, you're going to fulfill the will of God in your life. When you're determined, the promise of God's going to come to pass for you and your household. And when you're determined for you and your household, you don't know about anybody else, but for you and your household, you are going to serve the Lord. Amen. I don't know what everybody else is going to do. But I have a responsibility for my household, and if I do not let go, and I do not quit believing, and I do not quit confessing, and I do not back up or turn to the left or turn to the right, I will make it and I will succeed. God promises me that.
Amen.
And if I don't, it's my fault. Somewhere I dropped the ball. I need to pick up the pieces again and go forward. I don't need to, you know, just waller in the mud, as it were, and, you know, meander in the mediocrity and ponder or pander in the pool. Hello. I need to get up, shake off the mud and the dust, and go forward. You know, all of us have had things go wrong in our life, and all of us has certain weaknesses or inabilities, as it were. But see, we are still unique, and there is nobody like me and nobody like you. You are God's one and only. And you and God are a majority, and you can make it. Amen? When I think about that, I think about being responsible instead of making excuses. You know, I think about some of the men of the Bible, great men and women of the Bible. Think of Gideon, all the excuses Gideon made. You know, when that angel showed up, Judges the 6th chapter, and told him he was going to deliver Israel. He said, me? He said, I'm in the least tribe of Israel, in the least house of the least tribe of Israel, Manasseh. And you're going to choose me? He was making all these excuses. But, you know, he gave himself away when he said, if all this is, if God's with us, why is all this happening to us? And the angel said, well, if you'll go in this might, you'll conquer. Meaning, if God is with you, this stuff will stop happening. You'll start winning. And he gave himself away, absolutely, when he said that, and it's all over. Then he had no more excuses left. God was going to go with him. He says, the Lord will be with you. And so he could win, and he had to win. He had no excuses. Now, God is with us. So we got no excuses. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We have the victory through Christ Jesus. He calls us to triumph in Christ Jesus. And greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Now we've got to quit whining, moaning and groaning, and get up and stand on the word and let God move in our lives. Amen? Let's don't be like Gideon started out. Let's be like it ended up, where he followed through and obeyed God. Let's don't be like Moses when he started out and he began to make excuses when God called him. You know, Moses backed up too, and he said, Lord, I can't do this. He said, I stutter. Like God didn't know that. I'm always amazed when you argue with God, when he asks you to do something, and you start making excuses. You're going to tell God something he doesn't know? I mean, like he didn't know that already? See, the point is, there are no excuses. If God says you can do it, you can do it. If God calls you to something, you can fulfill the will of God in your life. The Lord will perfect that thing which concerns you. He will not forsake you, and he will not leave you until you have accomplished and fulfilled all the things that he said you can do. Woo! Are you out there? Jeremiah. Jeremiah said the same thing. He said, Lord, I can't speak. I'm a child. Jeremiah, the 1st chapter. When God called Jeremiah to be a prophet, he began to make excuses as to why he could not do what God said he could do. And you know, he had to get rid of those excuses. He had to quit playing the blame game. Moses, Jeremiah, Gideon, and many other people we could go through. They had to finally say, okay, God, you said it. I believe it. I'm going to do it. Glory to God. This could be your best year. This could be your best year. This could be your breakthrough year. This could be where you break out of the cloud of depression and darkness and aimlessness, loneliness, all those isses words I'm having trouble getting out tonight. This could be the time you break out of that feeling of worthlessness and purposelessness. Wow, that's a mouthful. Say that 10 times real fast. This could be it. This could be it, and it should be it. Amen? Not what could be and should be, but what will be in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. If you'll start taking responsibility for your actions and for your future and for your destiny. Hallelujah. Start taking the Word of God as is, believe it, stand on it, confess it, and get ready for it to happen. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Hallelujah. I'm looking for the best year we ever had in this church. I'm looking forward to the best year in ministry, the best year in reaching people's lives, people being saved and healed and filled with the Holy Ghost, and people being fed in our food ministry. I'm believing for increase in all, on all counts, on all sides. Amen. Hallelujah. Because that's what we should be doing. That is the will of God for us, is to grow. Anything healthy grows. You know, excuses, it's all through the Bible. There's people that have always made them. when Adam sinned, God said, it's that woman you gave me, you know. I think it's interesting. He didn't just stop with blaming the woman. He blamed God. Because really, if you take that in context, you know, he said, "You, why did you eat this fruit?" He says, it's that woman you gave me. So he was not just blaming a woman, he's blaming God for his problems. And Eve said, it was that snake that tempted me. And then the serpent went, you know, there wasn't anybody left. He was bottom of the totem pole. But the blame game's been going on for a long, long time. Listen, you need to realize, if it's to be, it's up to me. Are you with me? If it's going to happen, you're going to have to make it happen, Captain. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to trust God. You're going to have to pray to God. Now, God gets the glory and the credit, yes, because we couldn't do it without Him. But it's not going to happen until we pray, until we call, until we set our face like a flint. Hallelujah. That this promise is going to come to pass, that we're going to see this fulfilled in our lives, that we're going to get on this road and we're not going to get off this road. We're going to walk this walk and we're going to talk this talk. We're not just going to preach and teach, but we're going to do. We're going to act. And we're going to see it come to pass. Hallelujah. Determination. Amen. You know, I read a book years ago. I read it several times, actually. Usually when I get a good book, I'll read it over and over. That's if you don't know, a secret to things that why I remember certain things. I read them over and over and over. I do that with the Bible. I'm constantly reading the Bible over and over. But if I get a hold of a good book, maybe it's on leadership or whatever, you know, I read a lot of books on leadership. And, of course, a bunch of Christian books, obviously Christian-based books. Then I'll just read it over and over. If it really jumps at me, I'll underline it, and then I'll start typing up the things underlined. And then I'll go back and I'll read it again. Because books should, some books you just read through one time, some books you just taste, some books you digest, and some books you throw away. But some books are worth digesting. And this is a good book. It was actually by Stephen R. Covey, who just passed away this year, incidentally. And actually, he's a Mormon. Was it last year? Last year, this is 2013, yes, already. Passed away last year, 2012. I got to remember that. This is next year. Yeah, this is not this year, this is the next year. But anyway, he was a godly man. I mean, you know, we say Mormon, some people just think, oh, you know, put the fingers up, cruz cruz, as they say in Mexico. But he believed in one God. He believed, you know, it's in basically in his writings, his teaching. And I'm not defending or coming against Mormon church here. I don't have time to get into all that tonight. But the book was Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, was the name of the book. It's a very popular book. In fact, it just sold millions and millions of copies and was recommended in business the world all over. But he talked about three areas that people make excuses in. I thought it was so good because it's so simple and so biblical when you think about it. Three areas that you and I make excuses in. Three areas that you and I bring up when we don't want to take responsibility for something. And he said they were just genetic and psychic and environmental. Now, let's break that down. Genetic boil down to race. I can't do it because of my race. I can't do it because I'm, you know, it's that, or I blew off, you know, flew off the handle and blew up because of my Latin heritage. It's that hot Latin blood, or it's that Irish blood. It's just genetics. We try to use that as an excuse, you know, or I never had breaks in life because I'm black, or because I'm white, or because I'm Hispanic, or, you know, those are genes, genetics. Race has nothing to do with your future. Genetics has nothing to do with your destiny. Hello. There's nothing in your genes that determines your future. What determines your future is your faith. It's what you believe, not the color of your skin. You know, I come from, everybody in my family's short, and so I never make it because I'm too short, you know. Well, you're too short, you're too tall, you're too skinny, you're too fat. You know, we just make all these excuses, but at some point we got to just get over all that and say, look, that's no excuse, really. Amen. That's no excuse for believing God, for trusting God, for standing on God's word, for having peace and having joy and having purpose. Are you with me? For getting healed, are you with me? Or getting saved. Can you imagine coming to God and says, I would have got saved, but you see, I was born into a certain family. Well, that's the whole point of being born again, isn't it? Becoming a new creature? He's actually made one blood or one nation of all blood, you know, all peoples. So genetic, you can't use that. That's not an excuse anymore. You can't do that. That's wrong to do that. It's not biblically, it's wrong. We see in the Bible people that could have used it that didn't. Rahab was not one of the children of Israel. And yet she reached out for protection from the two spies that came into Jericho, and she pleaded with them for protection for her and her whole family. And you know, God spared her and her whole family, and she's actually in the lineage of Jesus Christ. And she was not an Israelite. I think of Ruth. Ruth was a Moabite. Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, you know, had two sons. And first of all, Naomi's husband died. Then her two sons died. And she returned to Israel and told her daughter-in-law to stay and go back to their kindred. And Ruth said, no, I'm going where you go. I'm gonna be with your kindred, and your God's going to be my God. She didn't let her genetics stop. She could have said, well, I'm a Moabite. I can't go over there in Israel. I can't have the hand of God, the blessing of God on me. She didn't let that stop her or make that excuse. You know, so you got Ruth, you got Rahab, just real simple examples. I mean, that people could have used genetics, but they didn't. They didn't do that. They didn't make the excuse. They saw an opportunity. They saw a promise, and they went for it. Another area I mentioned, genetics, and then there's psychic. Psychics are upbringing. Well, this is just the way I was raised. Well, that's no excuse. I hope you were raised right. But if you weren't raised right, just recognize what was wrong. Pray for your parents. Don't blame them. I mean, don't hold unforgiveness all your life for your parents because they didn't raise you right. Maybe they did the best they could do at the time, what they had to deal with. You know, maybe they didn't know what you know. Who knows? I don't know what the deal is. But you're alive now, and you've got a future now, whatever the case may be. Amen. You can't blame your upbringing, whether you were raised right or raised wrong. Today is a new day. What are we going to do today? We can't wallow in the past, as I said before. Or just you know, play the blame game and hope to, you know, hope to get revenge one day. I hope they get what's coming to them because they didn't do me right. You know, that's kind of like drinking poison and hoping the other guy gets sick. I mean, if you're going to live your life blaming it and, you know, trying to get at somebody, you're not hurting them, you're hurting you. Are you out there? Upbringing, the way you're raised. I think of Joseph. Joseph wasn't really raised in a great home. Joseph's brothers threw him down a well, sold him to the Midianites, went and told his daddy he died. That's dysfunctional. That's what we would call dysfunctional family today. Wouldn't you say? That wouldn't be the best brothers in the world that went and told your daddy, well, he died, and here's his coat. It's got blood all over it. They took goat's blood and put all over his coat. I mean, that is not the best family environment to have been raised in. Joseph could have used that determination, psychic determination. He could have said, my upbringing, that's why I never will be a success and never will turn out any better than anybody else. Because the way I was raised, my brother didn't treat me right, my mama didn't treat me right, my daddy didn't treat me right. Hello? And so I wasn't raised right. Playing the blame game. Here we go again. You know, they did the best they could do. Now it's up to you. Just look at it that way. You know, you heard the story of Mikey and Marky. You know, I've heard this story several different times. In fact, I read it in T.D. Jakes' book. I read it in another book I'd read one time years ago. And it was repeated again. I thought, well, that's really a good story. It's a story of a guy that was an alcoholic, and he raised two boys, Mikey and Marky. And Marky grew up an alcoholic just like his dad, and, you know, living in shelters and you know, just homeless, didn't have a place to stay. And somebody interviewed him and talked to him and said, Marky, why did you turn out this way? And he says, well, my dad was an alcoholic. And he said, I'm just like my dad. And he said, I couldn't help it. That's just the way I was raised. Now, Mikey, on the other hand, Mikey turned out to run a business and become a CEO himself, you know, and had lots of money and well-to-do. And he used to go out and make power lunches, you know, where they go out and they sell product and so on and meet new customers. And he went out to lunch with this one guy. And this guy ordered something to drink and asked Mike if he wants. He said, no, man, I don't drink. He said, you don't drink? He said, how come you don't drink? He said, let me tell you a story. He said, my daddy was an alcoholic. And he said, with a daddy like mine, he said, I turned against it, and I'm not going to be that way. I think it's interesting, and there's some truth to that story, and there are people just like that, incidentally. Mark thought that he was doomed to repeat what his father raised him to be and to do. Mike realized that he was responsible for his own future and determined he was going to do better. Are you with me? Your future's in your hand. It has nothing to do with what race you are. It has nothing to do with the way you were raised. And then that third one was environment. It has nothing to do with people treating you right. Your boss. I got so hot and so mad because of my boss. My wife. My husband. You know, just I'm not normally that way, but I just got mad and just blew my top because of this or because of that. Or, you know, quit blaming everything. Say, look, I was wrong. I sinned. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to quit doing that. Hello. But, yeah, but he made me so mad. So that's environment. Or I just had a bad day. Or, you know, everything just went wrong today. And that's why I just, you know, that's why I'm just chewing on everybody and kicking a dog when I go in a house and hollering at the wife and so on. No, no, whoa. You're just playing the blame game. You're making it sound like it's because of the bad day. Listen, what you are today has nothing to do with your race. It has nothing to do with your upbringing unless you let it. It has nothing to do with your environment unless you let it. What you are and what you can be should be determined by your faith in God and your determination to rise above it. It's not what happens to you in life. It's how you respond to what happens to you in life. We have a Bible full of examples that overcame environment, that overcame upbringing, that overcame race. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for good models and good mentors, good leaders that we can follow. Follow them. Don't stay in that rut and make excuses. Turn to John 5th chapter. I gave you plenty of time to get there, didn't I? John chapter 5. I love this. And you know the story. It says in John the 5th chapter, first verse, after this, there was a feast of the Jews. John chapter 5, verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Everybody say up. That's interesting because when you look in the Bible, everybody always went up to Jerusalem. It didn't matter whether they were south, north, east, or west. In fact, we think directionally up is north and down is south, you know. But actually, Jerusalem was always up. In fact, when you left Jerusalem, you went down somewhere. It's fascinating because if you're into geography and you read the book of Acts, you're thinking, wait a minute, I thought he was going east, or he's going south. He said up. What? You know, it didn't matter. Jerusalem was always up. So now they're in Jerusalem by the sheep gate. There is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. Now, this is fascinating to me. This shows the heart of God. God's got a million ways to heal you. I love that. You can have people lay hands on you. You can believe God and make a confession yourself. You can have people anoint you with oil. You can agree together. Well, actually, he had a way here, some supernatural way, that an angel, it goes on and says, fourth verse, an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred the water. And then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made whole or well of whatever disease he had. So here is all these sick people, you know, and all these ill people laying around this pool waiting for the water to be troubled, moved by this angel, and whoever stepped in first was healed. Now a certain man, it says in the fifth verse, was there who had an infirmity 38 years. My goodness, 38 years he had this. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" What a question. Who doesn't want to be made well? Well, you'd be surprised. There's a lot of people like to pet that devil. Hello. Sometimes we like to pet that devil. I mean, sometimes, you know, a cold, flu, something comes on us, and we want to put the blues music on and close the doors and sit down and get a bowl of soup and enjoy this sickness. We deserved it. We worked hard to get sick. Hello. Now it's time to really soak it up. Milk this thing for all it's worth. Are you out there? Not to say you shouldn't eat soup and lay down. You know, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that sometimes we go too far, sometimes to the point of almost using it as an excuse. When it's way past time, we should have got better. And we're really kind of whining. Hello. I speak from experience, I know. It says, do you want to be made well? That's the question. Do you want to get out of what you're in? Do you want to improve? Do you want to rise above the circumstance? Do you want to break out of that upbringing and those genetics and that environment? Do you want to change, or are you just going to just let it determine your life and your destiny? Are you going to be a victim or a victor? Are you going to take responsibility? Responsible is able to respond. Break the word down. Responsible, able to respond. As long as I'm a victim, I can't respond because of this or because of that or because of this. But if I quit making the excuses, I'm able to respond now to the situation. I don't have to be this way. I can rise above this. I can improve. I can get better. Hallelujah. It's not a sin to be sick. It's not a sin to be poor. It's not a sin to be depressed. It's not a sin to have a crisis happen. But it is a sin to want to stay there and not do what we can to come out of that. Woo! Hallelujah. Man, this year we ought to make a determination. We're not going to make excuses. We're not going to make excuses. Well, if I was in a bigger town. Well, if I was in a smaller town. Are you with me? See, you go through all those things. You never are immune to those attacks. I don't care what you're doing or what whether you got a business or don't have business, trying to get a job or own a company. It doesn't matter. Even pastoring a church. You can make all kinds of excuses of pastoring a church. Well, you know, we're just in a small little community, and we just have a small little church, and we can just do small little things. Or you can say, well, it doesn't matter where we are. God puts it in our heart to do a hallelujah night. We'll just do a hallelujah night. If it's our heart to get on television, we'll start filming and doing it right here in Willis Point, Texas. We'll start a few food ministry. In a terrible economy, when everything else is going down, we decided to break out of that and help somebody. And God has blessed us. Because He loves that kind of mentality. He loves that kind of faith. Quit making excuses. Quit whining. And just do something for God. Life's too short. Heaven's too high and hell's too hot. We got one shot at this deal. We ought to give it all we got. Amen? So he asked me, he said, do you want to be made well? And the sick man answered, and listen what he answered. This is typical. Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. There's nothing I can do. I'd love to be healed, but I need somebody else to do it for me. And I don't have anybody to do it for me, so I just can't do it. Hello. He's looking at the healer. Think about this. He's looking at his window of opportunity right there. God's standing right there wanting to help him. Sometimes we turn down God's help even. Amen. Because of excuses that we've made. Because of dependencies that we've created. Our only dependency should be on God. That's not saying we don't help each other and we don't lean on each other. We don't depend on each other. I'm not saying that at all. I'm talking about daily living our lives. How many times we make excuses and point to somebody else and keep ourselves from prospering, ourselves from coming out of a sin or something, and blame everything, our way we were raised, the race that we are, the kind of, I'm a Williams, and these Williams, we all been that way. We come from a whole line of people that do that. Been doing that for generations. It's just in my blood. They all went crazy. I guess I'm going to go crazy. Hello. It's in the jeans. Hello. I'd quit wearing jeans if that's the case. Well, that went right over. But anyway, so he made this excuse, and Jesus said, you poor thing. Oh, no, he didn't, did he? He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. One translation says, get up.
Amen.
Rise. Rise and shine. Don't rise and whine. Just get up and ride. Rise. Take up your bed and walk. You don't need somebody else. You got Jesus standing right there in front of you. Your future's in your hands, and God's, if you'll trust Him to do so. And it says, and immediately the man was made well, took up his bed and walked, and that day was the Sabbath. Boy, Jesus is constantly healing people on Sabbath. He just made these religious people so mad. He'd heal them in the synagogue on the Sabbath. It's amazing to me how many times you read through on the Sabbath Jesus healed someone. In cases like this, the Pharisees, a lot of times, they didn't have problems so much with healing. They had a real problem with it happening on the Sabbath.
Right.
Because they thought that was a work of some type. And so, like, healing was a work. Oh, my goodness. Healing was free. Nobody worked. Jesus paid the price for healing. Amen. Well, he took up his bed and he walked. Hallelujah. And, of course, they were all amazed about it. And then he had to account for all this and went through some persecution for being healed on the Sabbath, and the story goes on. But see, this guy had to quit making excuses, didn't he? You got to ask yourself, do you really want to come out of that sin? Do you really want to come out of that mess? Do you really want this thing that God has promised you? See, if your want to's not strong enough, you'll have a whole line of excuses. You'll just make one right after the other. And there's lots of them out there, and the devil's there to accommodate you, and everybody in the world will help you. Pat you on the back and say, you poor thing, we understand. But see, God's just standing there, the God of the impossible. With God, nothing is impossible. And Jesus said, all things are possible to him that believeth. You and I can have a great year. You and I are not doomed to repeat the past. I don't know what kind of cycle you're in where you think you've got to continually repeat this thing. You don't have to continually repeat this sin or this pain or this wilderness of depression that you're going through. You can come out of the wilderness. You can cross the Jordan. You can come on over into the promised land. Hallelujah. Where it flows with milk and honey. You can do it if you will make your determination to do so and quit making excuses. Hey, turn over to Isaiah 59. Wow. I don't really have time. Goodness, I made a promise. I'm going to keep it. Isaiah 59. Hallelujah. You know, what's going on here in Isaiah 59, actually the latter part of Isaiah 59, is that I've got to change my translation because I'm going to read something out of the Amplified Bible here. I love this. And while you're turning there, just think about this. I didn't have time to get to 2 Kings 7, but 2 Kings 7 talks about... the lepers. Remember the lepers? They were the Samaritans had come in and they'd surrounded Israel, you know, and they're all starving to death. In fact, one these two ladies actually ate a baby, and they made a deal. Yes, that's in the Bible. They made a deal that they'd boil her baby one morning, they'd boil the other's baby the next morning, and they boiled one baby. They did. And they ate it. And the lady was complaining to the king at that time and saying, we ate her baby and ate my baby, and now she hid her baby because we're going to boil it and eat it today. I mean, times are bad. I mean, when you think of how just unbelievable that is. But they were starving to death. There was famine, and it was, of course, this is abomination. There's no doubt about it. There's no way you can justify something like that. And so Elisha comes in, and he says the next day, he says, you're going to just practically give flour away and food away. He named it for a price that was just unbelievably low, and nobody believed it. And these lepers were at the gate the next day. And it's an amazing story. It's 7 chapter, 2 Kings 7 chapter, and I think it's 3rd verse, where they said, why sit we here till we die? Why sit we here till we die? You know, at some point you've got to make that determination in your life. Am I going to live this way the rest of my life? Am I going to put up with this forever? Why? Am I going to sit here till I die like this? They said, let's get up and let's go into the camp of the Syrians. Maybe it was the Syrians that came against us. And you know, God was looking for somebody to make a move. And supernaturally, he caused a sound like horses and chariots to precede them, and the whole camp evacuated. They left their donkeys, their horses, their tents, everything. And, I mean, there was clothes scattered where they had ran and left. And when the lepers came into the camp, there was nobody even there. And they're just gorging on all the food and all the, you know, the feast and decided, hey, we need to go. We got to go back and tell everybody about this. Amen? Which is what you need to do when you prosper too. You need to go back and tell everybody. And they went back, and exactly what Elisha had prophesied came to pass, just like he said. All right, in closing. Isaiah 59:21 talks about confession, talks about the covenant, talks about our agreement, the contract we have with God. Sums it up pretty succinctly. And he says, as for me, this is my covenant, or league with them, says the Lord, my spirit which is upon you, and who writes the law of God inwardly in your heart, and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth or out of the mouth of your true spiritual children, or out of the mouths of your children's children, says the Lord, from henceforth and forever. Now let's meditate on that a minute. The covenant is pretty simple. God has placed his spirit on us and given us his word. And his word should not depart out of our, it should always be in our mouth. We should not say what the world says. We should not make excuses like everybody else does. We shouldn't talk like everybody else does negatively. Not going to make it, can't happen, never going to happen. Are you with me? If anything goes wrong, it goes wrong in my house. Woe is me. Nobody ever seen, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Why is everybody always picking on me? You're not Charlie Brown. Come on. You're a child of the living God who has a covenant with God, and you ought to have his word in your mouth, not a bunch of excuses. And you ought to teach it to your children, and you ought to teach it to your children's children. They need to hear it out of your mouth, and they ought to teach it to their children. Your grandchildren ought to be doing the same thing.
That's right.
If you'll do this, this is the covenant. This is the deal. If you'll do this, you'll see God move in your life.
Right.
If you don't do this, you won't see God move in your life. That's the covenant. That's the deal. His spirit he's put on you, his words he's put in you, shall stay in your mouth. And he said this to Joshua in Joshua the first chapter, the 5th, 6th, 7th, and 8th verse. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Keep it in your mouth. And then, there's no chapter divisions in the Bible, all right? This is just one scroll or roll. This is one book. Notice what it says in the 60th chapter, the first verse, the very next verse. He says, arise, and I'm reading out of Amplified. Arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of the Lord, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Well, I tell you, we ought to be shining, not whining. We ought to rise and shine, not rise and whine. Are you with me? God's will is for us to rise up out of the circumstances that have kept us and bound us. And they have kept us and bound us because we have let them do so. I understand you can't change everything in life, but there's a whole lot more you can change than you realize. I love that prayer, the serenity prayer. I think it's a real good prayer. Some people have problems with it. I don't have a problem with it. It says, God grant me the serenity to accept things I cannot change. Courage to change things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Obviously, I can't change my height. I can't change my race. I can't change whether I was born in this country or another country or this period of time or another period of time. I can long all my life wish I was born in the 18th century or I wish I was, are you with me? I wish I was born in Western days where they'd pull those guns out and have those fast gunslingers and everything. I was just born in the wrong century. No, you weren't. You're born in the right time, just like God ordained. You're here and you're here. And this is your time and you can't change that. Quit whining about it. Grant me serenity to accept things I cannot change. But hey, give me the courage to change things I can and the wisdom to know the difference. Are you with me? Some things you can't change, forget it. Forget about it. Okay? Quit whining about it. Just put it on the shelf. It's a done deal. Can't change it. There's a lot you can change. And you're going to do it with the words of your mouth. You're going to do it by rising and shining and coming out of those circumstances that have bound you and left you bound. Why sit we here till we die? Get up, take up your bed and walk. And quit making excuses. Amen?